Welcome to the electrifying world of the Marketing AI Sparkcast, the go-to podcast for uncovering the revolutionary influence of artificial intelligence in the realm of marketing. Join Abhi Varma, a visionary in B2B marketing, as he guides you through the dynamic and ever-evolving landscape where technology meets creativity. Each episode promises to ignite your curiosity and inspire you to harness the formidable power of AI to redefine the future of marketing. Get ready to fuel your mind with innovative ideas and trailblazing strategies that will set your brand ablaze in the digital marketplace.
Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode. Today we are focusing on the future of brand and agency dynamic in the age of AI. As AI is reshaping marketing, what does that mean for brand and agency partnerships? The future of these partnerships is probably going to end up involving a blend of human creativity and AI-driven efficiency, redefining how brands connect with their agencies. But it's an exciting topic. And today, we are delighted to be joined by David DeWolf. He is the founder and CEO of Knownwell. He is a leader who has spent years in digital product development and innovation. He's an angel investor. David brings his insights into how AI is transforming the way marketing agencies collaborate with their customers and how agencies could manage relationships moving forward with the assistance of AI, of course. David, super excited to have you. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Abhi. I'm really looking forward to the conversation.
Awesome. It's going to be fun. So, like I said in the intro, David, you are a serial entrepreneur. You've been in the professional services world for a while. Could you talk a little bit about your journey and sure. What led you to founding Knownwell, and give everybody a little primer on Knownwell as well?
Yeah, I'm happy to. So as you said, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I actually started my career as an engineer. So I was a software engineer. And to make a very long story short, ended up building and scaling a digital product development company that was really building kind of the next generation of digital products for media companies, information companies, technology companies. Did that for 16 years, had just a wonderful time, wonderful ride. We grew sequentially every single year, and ended up exiting a couple times to private equity, actually. And so it was just a wonderful run, and a space that I still love. But in the beginning of 23, I stepped down. And stepped down really because it was just time for a break to refresh and recharge after going through that run. And the timing is really what is compelling as it relates to Knownwell in the story, because I stepped down on January 1st of 23, which was about 6 weeks after ChatGPT was released. And so I had a front row seat without any other distractions of watching this democratization of AI. And I really got compelled by what is going on with this technology and how is it going to change the world of business. And what I noticed as I was watching was that there was a lot of conversation about the technology itself. That's interesting. I am a technologist, so it's interesting. But I always have loved the application of technology more than the technology itself. And if you step back and you looked at where was the application conversation, you saw one set of conversations around just the tooling of using these LLMs. And it was interesting. But what I found more compelling was the conversation about how is artificial intelligence going to fundamentally change the way we do business? How is it going to change the way we lead? How is it going to change the way we think about jobs? And that became very compelling to me. And what I realized was everybody was asking questions about that and fearful of that, but nobody was actually answering the question, right? Every use case that I could find was this very discrete use case about a specific function of the business, writing code faster, writing the draft content, you know, those types of things. It wasn't about how we orchestrate and run businesses. And so we actually started Knownwell with that fundamental premise that we need to rethink the way that businesses are run in this new world, because this technology is going to enable a brand new approach. And as we started to talk to customers, and we just went out in the market, we've had over 400 customer conversations at this point in time. What we found the number one pain point was that professional service organizations, very specifically agencies, really struggle to know in a deep way their customers. Right, their client relationships are void of institutional knowledge. And the reason why is where they are rich in relationship, but they are weak in transactions. And if you look at all of the intelligence platforms out there today, they do a great job of interrogating transactions. They don't do a good job of making sense of relationships and the natural language that flows in relationships. And so it was that pain point that really piqued our interest.
Very cool. How did I love good old name stories. How did you guys come up with KnownWell?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, but, you know, yeah. one of our fundamental principles, one of the core purposes of the business is we really believe that artificial intelligence is the most powerful technological breakthrough in the history of the world. And in that way, it has the ability to totally elevate the human experience, or it has the ability to erode and destroy the human experience. And our mission, our passion, is finding a way for artificial intelligence to elevate the human experience. We don't think we should become robots just because artificial intelligence is here. We actually think that we should be intentional about finding ways for business to adopt the technology that, yes, produces economic results, but secondly, actually elevates the human experience as opposed to being counter to it. And the real fundamental difference between artificial intelligence and human intelligence is that humans have the ability not just to have knowledge, but to genuinely know. You and I can know each other. We can be conscious of our relationship, and we can know and be known by each other. A computer can't. Right? It is just processing bits and bytes. And so at KnownWell, we want to help organizations to be known well. We want to use the artificial intelligence to really promote the dignity of the human person as opposed to eroding it.
Love it. Love it. Especially my marketing brain loves that story, right? Because I'm a sucker for good name stories. So well done on that.
Thank you. That's kudos to Courtney. It's all her. I just said yes when she proposed it. So,
yeah, listeners, that's a shout out to Courtney Baker, the CMO for KnownWell. All right. Well, could you share your thoughts on how AI is changing the dynamics between brands and agencies? You know, I speak to hundreds of CMOs as part of what I do, and you know, a lot of CMOs are thinking about, hey, we maybe with AI, we don't need to be engaging with agencies like we do today. You know, we can just bring it in. And there's lots of simple examples. There's brands that use agencies to take long form content and create derivatives out of it and that sort of stuff. And those sort of things, the content remixing side as an example, there's many more, but this one example is a perfect one for where brands are considering bringing that in-house. And that's not the only thing, right? So that's one side, that's the brand perspective. On the agency side, you know, I also speak to, you know, agency owners and agency CEOs where they're like, great, completely fine, but you still need skilled people in order to do that, right? You still, in order to, you know, leverage AI effectively, you still need skilled people. You still need people who are experienced in, you know, the fundamental principle of, you know, of marketing or whatever their level of engagement is. But so how do you see this shift in, you know, from both perspectives?
Yeah, I think that's totally right. And this goes back to me to the fundamental of we can choose how we leverage this technology. And you're absolutely right. There's lots of use cases where AI can help to accelerate and make more efficient some of the work that we do. The brutal reality, though, is that efficiency doesn't lead to the best creativity. What these computers are doing, right, what the artificial intelligence does is it's a probabilistic model that is predicting what's next based on the past and history. And so if you want true creativity, if you want something that's truly new, I think it's not enough, right? And so that is a fundamental. And then the second fundamental, I think, on the other side for the agencies is that you can think about AI as helping you do your work, or you can think about it as helping you to run your business. We're building KnownWell for the latter. And we actually believe that the most impactful part of AI is going to be in how it changes the way we run our businesses. And the reason why is this. If you step back and look at knowledge work and knowledge workers, the research shows that 85% of knowledge workers spend their time, or 85% of the time they spend, is on cross-functional collaboration and the operations of work, not the execution of work. It is how do you tie together these different work streams to produce a result. And so what we actually believe is that the AI is going to become a leadership and management co-pilot versus a line worker co-pilot, which is what we're seeing right now, to help to orchestrate the business, to help to drive better operations so that as humans, we can do what only we can do and spend time there versus doing things we don't need to do. So take, for example, the use case that we're building against. We are working with agencies to help them understand their commercial relationships with their clients better than they ever have before, without bias and picking up all the signals in their conversations. So we take their natural communications, and through that, we're able to show them a score of how strong, how healthy is that commercial relationship, and very specifically, what do you need to do to improve that health? And we're able to surface this from existing information, existing communications that already are existing, but just aren't being analyzed. Then I can serve that up to you and give it to you to go act upon, because only you can build a better relationship. Only you can fix the delivery issue that exists, right? All of those things. You can be a better leader, a better manager of your firm, precisely because you're equipped with the information, versus having to spend your time going, pouring through and trying to figure out what the problem is and why you're not retaining your customers, you're not growing your customers, or you're very inefficient in how you do things.
Very interesting. So it's almost like kind of twofold. So one is the leveraging of AI in terms of actual delivery, agencies leveraging AI in terms of delivery, or whatever the, you know, whatever their focus area is for their clients, the creative side of it. And then the other is the operation side of it. In both of those scenarios, I often hear agency owners talk about the fact that they're almost conflicted with the, on the creative side of it, is like the ethics of transparency, right? Like they're like, hey, we're using AI to generate some of this stuff. And, you know, what's the, what is our standard for transparency? Do we share this? Do we not share this? It may have a direct impact on billing and pipeline and hours consumed and those sort of things. And then on the other side, the operational side of it, the agencies also have an obligation to make sure that whatever communication that they are having with their clients are protected or are private in the right context and that sort of stuff, right? And you guys are in this business. So if you are taking all those, all the natural communication and the AI is sort of processing it and synthesizing it from what I'm understanding, what is your take on the ethics of transparency and the obligation of privacy?
Yeah. Well, I think it's critical. We have to be able to address those issues. So if you start on the transparency side, I think transparency is the right way to do it, right? And I think what you're seeing is brands that are falling in one of two camps. Either they're leveraging it, and when they leverage it, the right thing to do is to disclose, this is how we're using it, this is how we're leveraging it, right? Take, for example, there's an agency that I'm aware of that has done a really good job of baking it into their workflows. They actually, part of their value proposition to their customers is, we leverage the latest technologies, for example, to draft that first draft of your blog or the press release. We still have humans in the loop and they're editing and revising, but that first draft, we're going to get you a head start because we're leveraging that core technology. And I think that type of transparency and just showing, hey, we're passing this on to you, it's part of the value prop, I think is the right way to go. I think the other extreme is you do have some folks that are saying, we're going to differentiate by saying we don't use it. And I think I think that's okay. Like, I think there will be a couple of winners that end up doing that, and there will be something unique about that. I don't think it'll be the masses, though, right? The masses will absolutely be leveraging. I think to your point, the flaw is when you're not transparent about it. When you're saying you're not using it, and then it comes out that you actually did, that's where you get yourselves in trouble. And so I think honesty, transparency is always the most important thing. I think on the other side, on privacy and security, you know, one of the things that I think people get stuck in is that they think about artificial intelligence almost as a personality versus as a system. The brutal reality is right now, we already have cloud software that is our email providers, right? We already have cyber software that's scanning every single email that comes through the firewall, right? These types of things are not unusual. What's different is now the artificial intelligence is interrogating it. So as long as security and privacy are baked in from the beginning and you truly have a secure architecture and you're using the latest and the greatest and you're protecting information, I don't really think there's a paradigm shift here. Now, you can, with the technology, get yourself in trouble if you're training models, right? But astute people that are building the technology in the right way to protect your data, I don't really think that there's a difference with most cloud software. And I think people are overreacting because they see it as, quote, intelligence, and it feels like a persona, not necessarily a system.
Right. So as long as, I guess, the proper guardrails are in place in terms of, you know, the system, like you're saying, not training on the data that is shared.
Proprietary data. Yep.
Exactly. Proprietary data that is shared and they're not showing up, having the right guardrails, so there's no, you know, sort of data leakage and that sort of stuff. Right. Yeah.
That's right. Then it's just like any of the other cloud platforms that you're using that have access to your data, right? And so I think what leaders need to do is to be aware of what are they choosing. So for example, really simple example, if you're using the free version of ChatGPT, they may be training. In fact, we know that they're training on the prompts that you're providing it and the information. If you have the enterprise version, they do not, right?
Right.
Being aware of that and saying, you know what, I'm gonna buy the enterprise version for that reason is probably a prudent thing, right?
Yeah.
But just because it's AI doesn't make the enterprise version less secure than Gmail, which also has all your email, right?
Right. Fair enough. That's super interesting. That sort of puts it in perspective, because you're right, because people do think about the fact of, you know, if it's AI, it's going to, you know, my information is going to show up in somebody else's chat with ChatGPT. And you certainly, you know, that's the way at least people are thinking right now. So maybe there's a role of education in sort of getting them comfortable with the idea. It's no different than, you know, some of the other systems in play. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, what the problem, some of the problems that you guys are solving where with AI. It seems like AI has the ability to improve and maintain strong relationships with clients, right? So what are the challenges? I guess, you know, what are some of the challenges that agencies face today that they come to you guys looking for a solution?
I want to tweak one of your words, because AI doesn't have the ability to build a better relationship, but AI has the ability to empower you to do what only you can do to build a better relationship, right?
Absolutely. Well said.
And so that's where we're really focused on. What we've identified is what we call a commercial intelligence problem that agencies really struggle with. And what this is when you think about that word commercial, it is about the economic relationship between the service provider and their client. Most agencies don't really understand that economic relationship. What is the value they're providing? What is the propensity for that economic relationship to sustain and to grow over time? And it's a very nuanced, very difficult to understand thing. But if you get a great leader who has been in the space for 20 years, 25 years, and they get exposed to enough conversations, they have a gut feeling of, you know what? this relationship is healthy or it's not, and here's what we need to do about it. What we're doing is we're scaling that gut feeling. We're actually systematizing that gut feeling. We are providing intelligence that sits on top of all those communications, sits in more meetings than any single leader ever could, has more history and background to develop that gut than any leader ever could. And we are taking that processing of information, leveraging AI to interpret it into signals that say, the strength of this relationship sits here right now. And if you want to improve it, here's what you need to do. And to boil those relationships down, finding the signal in the noise to say, here is the boiled down list of the next best action you need to take to strengthen your commercial relationship. That is precisely what KnownWell is doing and helping agencies really retain and grow their customer base, ultimately serving their customers better.
Okay, very cool. So in preparation for this podcast, I decided to talk to a couple of my friends who are CEOs, leaders of, you know, various agencies. And I asked them about how do they have a pulse on their, you know, relationships. And I asked them, hey, what exactly, how do you track it? And, you know, how do you maintain it? And obviously a lot of it is, all of it is account manager led, so that the first sort of line is very essential. But then in terms of kind of quantification of those relationships, is you have the, you know, the quantitative and the qualitative. So you have the NBRs and the account health dashboards and the billing and the pipeline and those sort of internal KPIs and the qualitative side. You have the QBRs and that sort of stuff. So my question to you is, if that sort of ecosystem already exists in terms of all these different KPIs, why would somebody need the help of AI to improve that or look at it differently?
Yeah, well, let's interrogate all different aspects of that, right? So the first one you talked about was account management. And typically what we've seen, so we've done hundreds of customer interviews understanding the space. Over 90% of the firms that we have talked to, they track their commercial health, their relationships with their customers on a spreadsheet with red, yellow, green self-reporting.
Okay.
The most mature ones actually take that self-reporting of red, yellow, green and put it into a system somewhere, but it's still self-reporting. It's somebody saying this is a healthy relationship. This is not, right?
Right.
There's obviously issues with that, right? You have the examples where we hear all the time from CEOs who tell me, you know what, my sales team says and what my delivery says are two different things. And I have a hard time getting to the bottom of what one's right because both of them are interpretations of what they've heard. Right. So that type of self-reporting, there's all sorts of reasons why an account manager may want to protect their account or protect their commission and not give exposure to weakness, or they want to show that they have things under control. There's all sorts of things that can come from that.
So bias of some sort. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We all have biases. There's all sorts of motives, some of them well-intended, some of them not. Right.
Yeah.
There's also simply the bandwidth of those account managers can't be in every conversation. If you have a large team that's working with a client, there are going to be conversations that happen without that account manager in the middle.
Right.
Right. Let's take another one of those KPIs, though, that you said. You talked about NPS. NPS is one that a lot of firms use. We all know what NPS is, right? And it is a question that at most is going to be asked once every 3 months. Typically, you're talking 6 or 9 month old scales. That's not an operational metric. We've turned it into an operational metric because we have nothing else to actually measure the health of our customer base. But the KnownWell score is actually measured every single day. You have a truly operational metric, not based on a question I ask you at a point in time, but based on what's actually happening in the transaction of business, which is the conversation going back and forth between the service provider and the customer. And so all of a sudden you move from this brand measure, which has value, but just isn't an operational metric, to a truly operational metric, right? And in that operational metric, you get rid of some of that bias, some of the mixed information, all of those types of things.
Very interesting. Yeah, because certainly, you know, timing and bias definitely has a real impact on some of these KPIs. So, yeah, interesting that the AI at you know, KnownWell is sort of tackling that. What about, I mean, in talking to a lot of these agency owners, it's often the one of the most significant factors in the relationship is the turnover in the brand mm-hmm. or the sentiment of the company. So those are things that are, you know, not necessarily internal to the organization, where even if, you know, AI was monitoring or assessing, analyzing, yep. you know, internal communication, I mean, that could have a big bearing for no fault of the agency, but it still has an impact on the relationship.
Yeah. Right?
So does that come into the picture anyway?
It absolutely does. So part of the platform is not just like the core is this relational data in the commercial right. relationship. But if you actually look at the health scoring, there's three things that drive that health score. All the research shows that the first thing that drives the commercial health of the service provider client relationship is the perception of service quality. Obviously, mm-hmm. that's covered by that internal mechanism. The second one is the interpersonal relationships up and down the entire organization on both sides. And the third one is what we call commercial alignment. Commercial mm-hmm. alignment is all about making sure that the service provider is aligned to where the client is going. And there yeah. are certain events that happen, and you just talked about a few, right? The biggest ones are departures of senior executives, budgetary pressures, strategic yeah. shifts, major investments,
acquisitions,
perfect yeah. example. Those types of things rock organizations, and it's essential that a service provider reacts to them, manages them, and hopefully is proactively ahead of them. And yeah. in order to fuel that, we absolutely need to look at external data and to pull in press releases, social information. All of those types of things have signals as well. They're not as rich. You have to look even harder for the signal in the noise. But it is very, very powerful and can take the fidelity of that scoring to the next level.
Yeah, it's funny anecdote, like... one of the agency owners is saying that, hey, we train our account managers to obviously connect with their counterparts on LinkedIn to see if there's any early signals if the brand point of contact is looking for a job, right?
That's
like
right.
outside the organization. So I was like, wow, that's interesting. And, you know, that's apparently one of the main reasons for agency turnover.
Yeah, I mean, it is actually the number one reason for turnover from our research. And if you look, you're totally right. And it's not just the account manager, but what if you're doing this proactively across all of your relationships? What
right.
signals can you pick up? Because a certain key player has all of a sudden connected with three recruiting firms and is connected with six more direct competitors. And like, you can start to see these signals triangulate
yeah.
and say, not only is there a chance that they are leaving, but also on top of that, we actually are weak in our relationship because we don't have a relationship with their number two. Let's go proactively build that relationship, right? And that's where you start to get to the next best action, where everybody has good intent of staying on top of their accounts, but everybody
right.
also has their long tail where, you know what, I'm fighting this fire right now. I have this huge, big opportunity in front of me. I'm not looking at these other 10 accounts, which may be at risk, and I don't even know it.
Yeah. The I don't even know it reminded me of another one where when I asked the CEO of a pretty decently sized agency, and I was like, hey, what's your one, when it comes to client relationships, what's your number one issue or concern? And he was like, surprise churn. And
yeah.
he was like, you know, where it's like the agency just basically said, that's it, we're not renewing. I mean, sorry, the brand said, you know, that's it, we're not renewing. And the agency, the account manager, caught completely off guard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it almost seems like the real-time nature of the AI and sort of monitoring internal, external signals could address that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah, you hit the nail on that.
Perfect. So let's talk about going back to what you said earlier, the Excel spreadsheet and the color-coded, graphs or what have you. But there is a lot of tech. There is a lot of institutional tech, like the Salesforces and the HubSpots of the world. But outside of that, there's lots of technology like, you know, Bitly, Gainsight, Tutango, there's exists in this world where there's a lot of effort going on in sort of quantifying these numbers when it comes to, you know, customer success or client success and that sort of stuff. So So my question is very simply, this is very specific to known whale, the problem that known whale is solving. But generally speaking, how are those technologies different than, and because I know a lot of agencies are using those things, but how is that different than what you guys do?
Yeah. So what we have found is there's a couple of major differentiators. First one is we are an AI native product. And so we are actually basing the whole premise of our scoring off of this natural language that takes place, right? Transcriptions, video call recordings, emails, right? That relationship information. Whereas platforms that are out there already, typically are basing their information off of transactional data, right? SOWs that are signed, renewal dates, all right? Those types of things. We found that that information, while interesting, actually isn't a predictor of commercial health. It really doesn't provide you a lot of insights about is there value in this commercial relationship. And so I think that's the first thing. The second thing is we have taken and we have embedded in here, you've heard about the different research points that I've talked about. We've done a ton of research. We've looked at a ton of data. And we're basing this off of the combination of this intelligence that's continually evolving the model, but the foundation that we have found in that research. And it's the intersection of those two and putting the best practices in there that allows us to actually identify what our customers may not even know to ask a system about yet, right? A lot of these tools that are out there are reactive. I can go get data, I can query it, I can ask it a question. We're actually predictive. We're actually saying, you don't even know this yet, but you should be aware of this and go do this because of it. Whereas other tools are more reporting tools where you can go to it and say, hey, should I do this? Or tell me if I should be aware of that. We are turning that on its head, and we're predictively going and pushing intelligence to our customers.
Very cool. All right. That was fun. One last question before we wrap it up over here is in the general area of relationship management, what is your one advice to agency leaders, and what is your one advice on the brand side about AI and adoption and all that sort of stuff and wherever the journeys they may be on?
Yeah. Well, when it comes to adoption, I would say really to both constituents, to be honest with you, that this technology is real and it is going to transform the way we do business. And I would say that the most important thing for leaders is to embrace it, to educate themselves on what it is, and to dive in and start experimenting. And that can look like a lot of different things depending on the business you're in, but it's going to be really critical that you have the experience and that you're experimenting with it so that you can stay up with it. Because right now, while the core technology has been democratized, the application of it has not been. But once it happens, it's going to go fast, just like the core technology took off really fast.
Very cool. Yeah, David, that was super insightful. Thank you very much.
Enjoyed
really appreciate your time.
Thank you for your time and appreciate the partnership.
No, absolutely. To our listeners, we are eager to hear how AI is influencing your brand agency collaboration, regardless of whatever side you're on. Would love to hear your opinion on this episode and generally on that topic and other areas within that brand agency collaboration side that keeps you up at night. Hit up David or me on LinkedIn. To the agency owners, if you want to burn the churn, as I call it, make sure you hit up David and talk to David. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will see you in the next episode.